Greetings. This is Dr. William R. Glay, Senior Pastor of Bethany Baptist Church in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. As the founder and CEO of the Anchored in Jesus radio broadcast, I am grateful that you are listening to us either on WYYC AM and WYYC FM. As a thank you for tuning into our program, we invite you to go to our website, www.anchoredinjesus.org, and subscribe to our weekly devotional. Everyone who subscribes will receive a brochure that I wrote entitled The Bible and Alcohol. The promotion will run from now through October the 13th. At the end of the promotion, we will be having a drawing, randomly picking two names. Each of these two individuals will receive one of my books entitled Heaven Answers for Today, Hope for Tomorrow. Also, we would love to hear from you. Please go to our website and leave a comment. We look forward to hearing from you. God bless you.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us for the first half of the Tabernacle Shekinah Glory from our series, Let Your Glory Fill This Place. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of the Tabernacle Shekinah Glory.
As we start a new series, that the glory of the Lord would fill this place. Let your glory fill this place. I'm going to ask that you would stand for the reading of God's word if you can. If you can't, then don't worry about it. But if you can, let's stand for the reading of God's word. So I'd like for you to repeat after me. We're going to read from Exodus 40, verses 34 through 38. But before we read that, verse 33 says this, and I just want you to repeat this after me. So Moses finished the work.
So Moses finished the work.
Okay, let's try that one more time. So Moses finished the work.
So Moses finished the work.
Then the cloud, well, you don't have to say this, I'm going to read the scripture. That's good. I like that. Exodus 40, verse 34 through 38. Then the cloud covered the meeting tent, and the glory of the Lord filled the holy tent. Moses could not go into the meeting tent because the cloud had settled on it, and the glory of the Lord had filled the holy tent. And when the cloud rose from the holy tent, the Israelites would begin to travel. But when the cloud stayed on the holy tent, the people did not try to move. They stayed in that place until the cloud rose. So the cloud of the Lord was over the holy tent during the day, and at night there was a fire in the cloud, so all the Israelites could see the cloud while they traveled. We're going to talk about the glory of the Lord. We are starting a series basically on the tabernacle and how that in the tabernacle there was different stops. There was the altar. There was the altar of incense. The choir just got finished singing about that. The altar of incense. Let incense arise, the prayers of the saints. There was a table of showbread. There was the candlestick. And we went back into the Holy of Holies, and we see the Ark of the Covenant. And we see that it was on that place that the Shekinah glory of God rested. It was on that place that the glory of God was seen. And so we want God's glory to light upon this sanctuary that we're in. We want God to fill it so that we can see him do great and mighty things, that we can see him do powerful things. And so we are going to begin today by talking about the Shekinah glory. And then we're going to go through the tabernacle, and we're going to look at each one of the utensils and see what they mean to us and how we can appropriate them in our lives. And so the Shekinah glory, the word Shekinah does not appear in the Bible. It comes from a Hebrew word, Shekan, which means dwelling or one who dwells. The word Shekinah came to be referred to the divine presence of God among his people. The divine presence of God, the manifested presence of God among his people. We look at a brief history of the Shekinah glory, and we can say a lot about it, but let me just give you a brief outline of the Shekinah glory. We just read in Exodus chapter 40 that when Moses finished the work, that when Moses finished the work on the tabernacle, that the glory of the Lord filled that tabernacle. We read when Solomon erected his temple, and when the temple was completed, that the glory of the Lord filled that temple. We see that the Jewish people went into captivity, and while they were gone, Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the temple. He destroyed the city. And when they came back under the leadership of Zerubbabel, they rebuilt the temple, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. But something sad happened, and that is the people displeased God. The people didn't live according to God's principles. God sent the prophets to preach, and they didn't listen to the prophets. And we read that the glory of the Lord departed from the temple. Wow. What a sad day to know that the tabernacle in the wilderness, to know that Solomon's temple, to know that the temple under Zerubbabel, that the glory of the Lord filled it. And then one day, the glory of the Lord departed. And there's a word that's used for that in the Old Testament, and it's the word Ichabod. Ichabod. And Ichabod means that the glory of the Lord has departed. And my friend, I want to ask you a question, and we're going to get into this today. But in your life, you know, where is the glory of the Lord? It's a sad testimony of a lot of children of God that the glory of the Lord has departed. Is that true of your life? That the glory of the Lord has departed from your life. What a sad commentary on the church, that if you can come to church and the glory of the Lord is not found in the house of God. And we think about this beautiful building that God has allowed us to build. And I just want to ask you a question. We see that in the Old Testament, the Shekinah rested upon the tabernacle. It rested upon the temple, right? So let me ask you this question. Do you think when we leave here today that God is in this sanctuary, and that he's going to stay in this sanctuary until next Sunday morning, waiting for us to show up again? Do you think that God is in this sanctuary Sunday afternoon to the next Sunday morning, saying that I can't wait for them to come back? What am I going to do until they come back? I sure do miss them. So God is in here, twiddling his thumbs, waiting for us to show up again. No, my brothers and sisters. The reality is, God is here when we are here because he is in us. God is here when we are here because he is in us. And when you leave today, God is not going to sit around and wait for you to come back next week. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, the Apostle Paul said, "What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have of God, and you are not your own?" In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16, "For you are the temple of the living God. And God hath said, I will dwell in them." And so, when you come, you got to realize that you bring God with you. That as you offer your body as the temple of the living God, and the songwriter said, "Oh God, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. And with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary, Lord, for you." You see, in the New Testament times, the Shekinah does not rest upon the sanctuary when the saints of God are not here. But the Shekinah is present when you are here. And so I want to challenge us today. If we want to see the power of God fall upon this place, if we want to see God move and God work in mighty ways, it's not going to be just because we got a new sanctuary. That don't impress God for God to say, "Well, hey, well, look, man, they just built something new. I'm going to show up in that." No, God is going to show up in you. And that as you come into the house of the Lord, you bring God with you. Think about that. Think about that, saints. Come on now, somebody help me out. You bring God with you. And if you show up in here and you don't have God with you, that's just one less fire that we got. Can you imagine that if all of us showed up in the fullness of the power of God, how the power of God would rest on this place? How the Shekinah glory of God would rest in this place? If we want the Shekinah to fall down on this place, we got to come right. We got to be right. We got to get right. Because if we don't come right, if we don't get right, and we don't be right, the Shekinah is not going to be anywhere around. You're going to show up, and you're going to look for God, and God is not going to be anywhere around. You're going to be like Samson. You're going to try to beat the Philistines, and, you know, three times you got up and you beat the Philistines. But that last time, when you gave away the Shekinah, when you gave away the power, you said, "I'm going to get up like other times before." And you tried to get up and you tried to exercise the power of God, and you had no power at all. And so I tell you, saints, more than anything else, I want to see, as far as us and our sanctuary is concerned, more than anything else, I want to see the power of God rest on this place. We have seen the power of God rest across the street when we were at the sanctuary across the street. We have seen the power of God rest upon the multipurpose room when we worshiped in there. And now we want to see the power of God rest on this place. And the only way that the power of God is going to rest on this place is for you to do an attitude check. And for you to realize that you bring God with you. So my question today is, how do you bring God with you? That when you show up next week, now hopefully when you showed up today, you brought God in here with you. As I was praying in my study, I said, "Lord, don't let me preach this message today and not bring God up in this sanctuary with me. You know, don't let me come up here and don't bring God with me," right? So I want to ask you the question, and I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad. I'm not trying to make somebody be down on yourself, but just to kind of ask you this in a way of challenge. Did you bring God in here with you when you came today? Amen. Amen. Did you bring him in? And if all of us in unison can say that on a Sunday morning, that all of us brought God with us when we came, man, that's when we see the Shekinah glory fall down upon this place. How do you bring God with you? First of all, oh, somebody help me. Help me, Holy Ghost. Help me, Holy Ghost. You got to seek him through what? Oh. See, some of y'all come on Sunday morning looking for God. Some of y'all come on Sunday morning seeking God. And you should be able to find God when you come on Sunday morning. You should be able to find God when you come on Sunday morning. But if you're waiting for Sunday morning to find God, you need to be looking throughout the week. You need to be looking for God every day. The psalmist said, as the deer pants after the water brooks, so my soul pants after thee, O God. There's got to be a panting after God throughout the week. Are you spending time in the Word of God on a daily basis? Are you spending time on your knees before God in prayer? Are you worshiping God in spirit and in truth throughout the week? You've got to seek him throughout the week. You've got to touch base. Oh, this sounds like another sermon. This sounds like another sermon. You got to touch base with him throughout the week in order to touch with him on Sunday morning. And when you show up here on Sunday, it should be because you've been thirsting for God all week. And you know what? And this Sunday morning is just the continuation of the thirst. As the deer pants after the water brooks. You see, the deer, in the Hebrew, where it says, as the deer pants after the water brooks, preposition there means over, that the deer pants over the water, that the deer's desire is downward, that the fulfillment of the deer's thirst is downward. But the psalmist switches prepositions from downward. As the deer pants downward, he changes to the preposition that means upward. So my soul pants upward after thee, O God. The object of the deer's thirst is downward. The object of my thirst is upward. And Lord, only you can feel it. Lord, that there's an empty place in my soul that only you can fill. And Lord, I've tried to fill it with other things, but those other things just are wasteful. Those other things don't satisfy. But Lord, when I can tap into the living waters of God to fill my thirst, then I'll be all right. Y'all remember that commercial back in the day about Dr. Pepper? And there was the Hunchback of Notre Dame. Right? And the Hunchback of Notre Dame, he was wreaking havoc. He was just knocking down things, and he was running people over, and he was just destroying everything. And somebody said, man, we got to get a hold of the Hunchback of Notre Dame. And so this little girl, she came up with the bright idea of bringing him a Dr. Pepper. And she brought him a Dr. Pepper, and at first he was kind of, you know, they was bringing him other stuff, water, and he knocked that out of the way. He knocked all the stuff out of the way. But she gave him this Dr. Pepper. And he drank the Dr. Pepper, and he was clothed and in his right mind, right? Everybody from the town came, and they were standing around him, right, cheering him, right, because he had a Dr. Pepper. Somebody had the wise idea to bring him this Dr. Pepper. And you know what the tagline on the commercial was? It says, don't settle for a cheap substitute. Hope, Hold out for the real thing. Hold out for a Dr. Pepper. Well, I'm telling you, my brothers and sisters, during the week, don't settle for cheap substitutes during the week, but hold out for the real thing, a relationship with the living God. And that if you will thirst for God during the week, that when you show up here on Sunday morning, that you will bring the power of God with you. The psalmist said, if you want to bring God with you, oh, I'm preaching to somebody today. I'm getting ready to preach to somebody. Well, let's put it this way. I'm going to stop preaching, and I'm going to go to meddling, right? Because if you want to bring God with you, then you got to show up with clean hands and a pure heart. you got to show up with clean hands and a pure heart. In Psalm 24, notice what it says here in verse 1. Psalm 24 and verse 1. Verse 3. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? You know, the question that's being asked here is who can come into the presence of God? Right. It says, who shall ascend into his holy hill? Right. That was the Temple Mount. Who can come to the Temple Mount? And who shall stand in the holy place, in the Holy of Holies? Right. We're going to talk about the Holy of Holies. Right. Who shall ascend to the Temple Mount? Who shall stand, you know, in the holy place, in the temple? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. That you can't walk around all week with filthy hands. You can't walk around all week with your hands dabbling in sin. You can't walk around all week doing the wrong things and expect to have God with you. You know, some people think that they can live any old way, right? You know, I told y'all the story about the church that was having a revival. And they was having a revival on Halloween night. And there was a man dressed up as the devil. He was like the devil. He was out trick-or-treating. And it started raining. And this church was in there, and they was having a revival. And this man dressed up like the devil, he was trying to get out of the rain. Right? He came in, and the pastor looked back and saw the devil walking down the aisle, and the people turned around, and everybody started running. And one man was trying to run, and he got his suit caught on one of the pews, and he couldn't get away, and the devil was coming right at him. He said, I just want to let you know, I've been in the church all my life, but I've been serving you the whole time. Who can stand in the presence of the Lord? Who can come to his holy hill? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. Are you serving God? Are you trying to keep your life clean? I like that song, God Is. I got to keep my way in the narrow way. I got to keep my life clean every day. Because I want to go with him when he comes back. I've come too far and I'll never turn back. Right? I got to keep my life clean every day. Oh, I'm not saying that you don't sin. I'm not saying that you don't do wrong. I'm just saying that it's in your heart to keep your hands clean and your heart pure. Is that where you're at?
Thank you for joining us today on Anchor Time for the conclusion of The Tabernacle, Shekinah Glory. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Tabernacle, Shekinah Glory, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Tabernacle, Shekinah Glory. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Tabernacle, Shekinah Glory. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series, Let Your Glory Fill This Place, is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.